And especially with Blessed Anne Catherine Emick and her book, you see a lot the connection between the sufferings in her body, including the stigmata, to the sins of the church at the time. And I remember she would enumerate that and talk about in detail these sins and kind of what that looked like spiritually, and then her sufferings. And then with St. Catherine, there's all the admonition, you know, of the clergy, especially at the end of that chapter, you know, yeah, specifically like sexual sins and homosexuality. And I thought that was, you know, incredibly powerful thing that very convicting, I think, something for people to read.
Isn't that eye opening? Yeah, it's very shocking. And if you read a lot of versions of the dialogue of Catherine of Siena, I've got one right there, and it's published by a top Catholic publishing house. And that whole big section on sexual sins and impurity of clergy, and also generally of homosexuality, is excerpted out of the book. I mean, it's definitely too politically incorrect for our kind of, you know, modern woke sensibilities today. Yeah. So they purge that. And I wouldn't want to be the one standing before the pearly gates someday and to say to Catherine and the Lord who spoke to her, "Hey, we took that out of your book because we didn't want to offend people and get canceled on Twitter." Right. But those statements are amazing. And you got to wonder, reading that from, you know, roughly the year 1370, where God says, "I destroyed five entire cities for the sin of homosexuality." I had to go back and look that up in my Bible, but I thought only two, Sodom and Gomorrah. No, there's actually five.
What were the five?
Yeah, the five, is it the Pentapolis? It's if you look in the footnote of that, it's in the book.
Okay.
Including the Old Testament verse. And in fact, I asked one of my theology professor friends, I teach at Grove City College, which is a largely Protestant college. They're like, "Oh yeah, man, you don't know your Bible." It's like, yeah, there's five, but there are five altogether. And in fact, this is, in the case of the dialogue of Catherine of Siena, she contended that this is God the Father himself who is speaking to her on this occasion, not Jesus, right? God the Father. This is Old Testament. And he even said, the sin of homosexuality is so foul that it even makes the demons flee at the sight of it. So because they are fallen angels, and because of their angelic nature, they are sickened by the sight of something so unnatural and against God's order for the world. So they flee from this sin. They're happy to lead people into the perdition, but when the act occurs, they don't want to watch it. So that's all in Catherine of Siena's dialogue.
I thought that was the way that you described it, that they shoot the arrow of the temptation kind of like from like a distance and then run away because they don't want to see it. I mean, it's hard to think of a more kind of gripping image of just how much this is something that's displeasing to God. And, you know, and for us to, for people that if they're in that, to a call to repentance, and then for us to pray for those people to not fall into that. I think sometimes, just because of the culture that we're in, we see it as like, okay, we know that this is wrong, but maybe not that bad. And this really paints it like this is extremely displeasing to God.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, and we're all at the point, candidly, I'm at the point now where, so I used to write on that stuff all the time and write against it and against same-sex marriage and everything else. I just got to the point where like, I don't mind being attacked. I don't care about being attacked. But all that's happening is I'm just being attacked, and I'm not changing anyone's mind. The culture is just a train wreck. This is gone. I mean, we're just completely, I don't even know what to do anymore on that issue. So I'm at the point where every now and then when I come across it or write and feel I need to write about it, I state it and I put it out there. But I'm just kind of in this point of exasperation, and anybody who becomes offended when we talk about it, I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, you know, you deal with it. It's between you and God. I'm not going to lose sleep over it anymore. But I am going to tell you what she reported. And so, you know, you deal with it.
And I had a chance to read through that book before. I don't know if I had gotten to that particular part, but when you read all the other stuff, it's so amazing. She just kind of gives you just layer of beauty and truth and more beauty and more truth. that by the time you get to that point, even if that's difficult to hear, she said so many amazing things that you have to believe her.
Right. And what's so profound about her, and really that whole era of about Francis to her, about the year 1180 to 1380, she died in 1380 at age 33. Mm-hmm. That's also the period of Dante. You can see this throughout Dante's Inferno. But she talked about the sin of disordered love. So about loving the wrong things, right? So love is good, but you can have a disordered and misplaced love. So you know, to apply this to something like homosexuality, right? She was, you know, you might be a male who loves your male partner and wants to marry him. It's okay to love, but not in that disordered way, right? Not where it would lead to a sexual act that's illicit or a type of marriage that's not approved of by scripture or natural law or the church. So that would be a disordered love. But she talks about disordered love all the time. And if anything, our love wins, right? That's the phrase of the marriage equality movement, the same-sex marriage movement. But that it was that kind of stuff in particular that she was writing. It's not about same-sex marriage, because no one at that point in time, no one in the history of humanity was at the point where we are today on that issue.
Yeah.
But you know, that's certainly the type of misplaced love, that she's disordered love that she's talking about.